Did we
Okay,
not record?
I'm recording now. I'm sorry. Start over. I forgot. I'm a bad person. I should be flogged mercilessly.
This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 459, recorded Wednesday, October 10th, 2019. In 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Dum dum.
I hear a different tone from you today.
That's possibly because I'm tired and annoyed and frustrated.
I'm sorry. Any particular reason?
At work. It's no big deal.
I'm sorry to hear that. I feel for you.
It's all right. If work was all sunshine and rainbows and unicorns and roses and fairies and sugar and croissants and chocolate covered donuts and aces of spades, then they probably wouldn't need me to pay for it. Or they probably wouldn't need to pay me.
I lost you somewhere in that. I think somewhere around the donuts and the aces of spades.
That was the end of it.
Okay. So it is yet another week. We're recording on a Thursday, as I was unavailable last night, as I was driving home from not being here.
And? Do you feel better?
After what?
I don't know. Whatever you were doing.
Fasting?
Yes.
Not particularly. It's not a fun thing for me to do.
But do you feel better now?
That I'm not fasting? Yes.
That's what I'm asking.
Yes, I had to break fast. That's where you you eat a bunch, eggs. Then you fast, then you eat a bunch again.
Oh. I thought breaking fast involved eggs and waffles and
no, that's
hash
breakfast.
Browns.
No, that's breakfast. Break fast is when you break your fast.
Isn't that what breakfast is?
Technically. So it's been another week, and I've had another home automation crisis.
Oh, no.
Well, my secondary location, the one that I was at, it uses a Pi to run its local Home Assistant instance. And apparently, Pis do not like power outages because the SD card was corrupted.
Yes, I hear that happens.
So I've decided to upgrade to a Liva.
A Huba?
An ECS Liva. It's a very small computer.
How do you define very small?
It's slightly larger than a Pi, but it actually is running a Celeron processor.
Ah.
And it has a M2 SSD slot on it, and it comes with 2 gigabytes of RAM and 32 gigabytes of onboard storage.
So when you say M2, do you mean MVNE?
Yeah.
Because that's fast.
Well, I don't really care about the speed so much as the fact that the drive is removable and therefore the thing will last longer.
Ah.
Also, hopefully it'll be a little more fault tolerant.
Have you considered an UPS?
I had one.
And it still corrupted your disky thing.
Yes, it didn't necessarily shut down immediately. I'd need to do some stress testing. But I've decided that I need something a little more robust. I'm tired of rebuilding these things.
I understand.
So that will run that one. The one here is run by a Nook. So that'll handle things for a few more years. So the parts arrive today, and I just have to build it up and ship it up there. But I'll be back up there in the future. So. Other than that, let's see what else. That was my home automation thing. IKEA smart blinds are apparently worth the wait.
Really?
According to The Verge, I'm not saying they are or are not worth the wait. I'm saying The Verge says that.
I remain unconvinced. And that's after having read the article.
Well, I just want to see if they're available at my local IKEA. Electric blinds. The Furter is available at my local IKEA for $149.
Seems pretty stiff for a single window.
I'm not going to argue that. But currently, smart blinds are pretty expensive. But would you like it if you were able to open and close your blinds?
No, interestingly.
Yeah, that's why I asked.
Not really. The places that I have blinds,
yeah,
they typically stay open or they stay closed.
Well, I have blinds, so I have curtains that are actually designed to keep heat in or keep heat out, depending on the time of year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to occasionally open them and get light, natural light in here. But I need a curtain opener, and that's not this.
There are a few windows in the place that are out of reach, but they don't have any window treatments on them now, and they're not really privacy issues because they're typically high up. But I don't know. Yeah, well, I don't.
If you look on Amazon, you can get an electric smart Wi-Fi curtain motor for only $199, or you can get a drapery motor for $86.44.
A drapery motor. That sounds fun.
Well, that is where it is a motor that automatically stops at the full open or full close condition, and you still have to hook it up to a rail. So 86 is just for the actual motor. You still need more equipment.
Sure.
But as I said, if there came to be an easy solution, I would consider it.
The part that particularly made me believe that IKEA may not be ready quite yet.
Yeah.
Is that while it is compatible with George Assistant, it doesn't appear to be compatible with Home Assistant. Not yet, anyway. But it is Zigbee, so.
Have you read the release notes for version .100?
No.
Then you should.
I'm Will going it,
to quote you from .100, which was released October 10th.
Which would be today.
Yeah. One notation, let's see here, devices, where is it? I saw it here. In other news, no, somebody's got some vacuum cleaner. Here we are. New integrations, new platforms. Here we are. Add basic support for IKEA Furter blinds.
Oh. I was wrong. Yesterday I was right. Today I'm wrong. Okay, cool.
Yeah, also some other stuff.
Well, that's all right.
So anyway, moving away from IKEA, Google will require new Android devices to run Android 10 if approved after January 31st, 2020.
So they are pushing the people to upgrade faster and faster, which makes sense for phones. I mean, because with Android 10, they're kind of forcing you to use the system that enables updates regardless of hardware.
Well, I think they sort of come to the realization that letting people sell new devices with Android versions 3 or 4 back is not necessarily a good thing.
Because they're going to. If you allow them to
yeah.
use old operating systems, then they're going to.
And note, this is not devices that are manufactured after January 31st. These are devices that are approved.
Right.
So the approval process takes a while, as does the designing and manufacturing of any device. So there will still be devices released in 2020 that will be running Android 9 that work. Let's see. Google will also require new Android devices with Type-C ports to not break USB PD compatibility.
Now, what is PD compatibility?
So this is USB power delivery. So this is a standard for delivering power over USB, which apparently a lot of manufacturers are not complying with.
Does that mean you could use your phone to charge another phone?
In theory, yes. But the idea is that if you're using the port and you're not using the standard configuration, that sort of create a problem. So if you do not support it, that doesn't mean you can't support something else. It just means that you have to at least support the standard.
Right.
Which, again, is a good thing. I like standards. Standards.
Yes.
There's a preview of the black and white colorized feature in Photos that was promised at, I think it was one of the Google I/Os.
Isn't that just AI at work, man? AI has come to your phone.
And this was, the 2018 Google I/O. So apparently the feature could land in beta in Photos where you'd be able to colorize old photos. And I'd be interested to see this because I do have old black and white photos. I would certainly like to see Google try to colorize.
I wonder if you could take a black and white picture and it would colorize it. That would be crazy.
Well, I'd still like to see what some of the black and white photos in my album would look like colorized.
Sure.
And, some of the people in those photos I know, and some of those people in the photos I don't know. I have family photos dating back to the probably about the 1910s.
Wow. That's right at the beginning of photography, right?
Not exactly, but I can't always identify them.
So, really? I thought photography was early 1900s thing. Or is that just when it got not...
Remember, they had pictures of Abraham Lincoln, and that was not the 1920s. Photography existed before then, but that was the photography where you had to stand around and wait for a giant flashbulb.
Right, and you had to stand there for 5 minutes.
I'm not sure if it was five, but definitely long enough to be uncomfortable, which is why people in those pictures didn't really smile that much.
Yep, heard that. Yep. I can confirm that rumor has been published widely.
Well, it's hard to hold a face for that long. Now, you get something like, let's say, Eastman Kodak, which was founded in 1888. You remember them?
I do.
So Kodak was trying to sell inexpensive cameras and making large margins from films, chemicals, and paper.
And they didn't quite make the transition to digital.
Regrettably, no. But let's see, I have the timeline up here. The name Kodak was registered in 1888, and the first model appeared that year. And again, they kept making these inexpensive pocket cameras. So the first pocket camera, a $5 pocket Kodak, was introduced in 1895.
Wow. That's incredible.
Well, that was the whole idea. The idea was to make photography approachable to the masses. Before that, there were people who had the ability to take pictures, but what did you need to do? You needed to have a big camera that you needed to lug around. It wasn't as convenient. So I'll credit Kodak and Eastman for what they did.
Absolutely.
And now I can colorize photos that were taken in that era, the post-1888 version.
On your phone. Colorizing photos is not overly impressive if you've got a lot of CPU and GPU to throw at it. But on your phone, it's just amazing.
Well, I don't know if that's cloud-backed.
I don't believe it is.
Well, regardless.
I could be wrong. It's happened before.
I do appreciate the people at Google Photos. They do make my photos look nicer sometimes. I have this photo where I'm particularly shocked it was taken by my phone because they sort of composited it into a bunch of pictures into an HDR image.
Yeah.
Looks a lot more impressive than when I took it. I have this really nice one that they did up of the USS Midway. Are you familiar with it?
It's a boat. Ship.
The USS usually gives that away, yes.
Yes.
It is now a museum.
Yes.
I took a very nice picture of it, which
nice.
I didn't think was quite as nice until I saw that Google had sort of played with the colors and fiddled with it a bit. Anyway, I really have to download those. I've been busy. Speaking of camera related things, apparently there'll be a refined interface in the next version of Google Camera, which is apparently going to come out with the Pixel 4, but should be available for earlier Pixels.
Nice.
Hulu, if you are a Hulu user, will let Android users download their content offline soon. And I have another photo story because you can now edit your smart display's photo frame settings from within the Google Photos app.
Finally.
If you are a user of PowerAmp, which I am, they've offered some new interface options.
Really? Now, PowerAmp is a audio playing. I mean, you use it to listen to local music, phone local music, right?
Yes, it is an audio player. Used on and off for some years.
Now, when you say audio player, is it also good for, say, audio books?
It's not really designed for it. It's more for music, but yes, it can work for audio books.
Okay, but mostly music. And maybe short audio, like TED Talks.
Yeah, I use something else for podcasts, but I do use it for my music.
All right.
I store locally, and they recently started to develop it again. It was sort of stuck for a while there.
Well, everybody deserves a break every now and then.
Well, to the point at which there hadn't been much development for a while, and now it's getting some development. So let's see what else we have here. The newest Android Auto might let you hide unused apps. They've realized in their new interface that now you have to look through everything to find what you want, and you might as well tell it that you're not using something.
Cool.
If you are a Facebook user or just generally interested, Facebook is the first non-Google app to pass 5 billion installs on Android.
5 billion.
Yes, that's billion. Now,
is it a scientific application? Is it an encyclopedia? Is it Wikipedia? Is it something useful in the world? No, it's Facebook.
It is what it is.
It is, in fact, what it is.
Google has finally made it possible to move music between casting devices.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, it seems like it should have been there for a while.
But notice that it is not... It won't sync, so it's not usable as a multi-screen solution. But it's all right.
Well, I don't know. I'm still hoping. It'll get better, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
Apparently, people complaining about DNS over TLS continues, with this time apparently Google's adoption is drawing congressional review.
What?
Well, apparently...
How and why?
Well, you remember that I believe it was the UK who declared Firefox an enemy of the people for encrypting DNS by enabling DNS over TLS. So now it's Google's turn, where apparently major internet service providers sent a letter to Congress saying that support for DNS over HTTPS could interfere with critical internet functions. as well as raise data competition issues.
That's just crazy talk. In my opinion.
Especially since, you know, I looked at what they were saying about Chrome. Remember, we talked about it at one point, that they're making sure that their current provider is among a list of compatible DNS over HTTPS providers and then just upgrade to the equivalent service from the same provider.
See, I think a lot of people may not worry about this because it's just DNS. Well, remember that when the NSA was collecting phone call records, they weren't actually collecting copies of the data. You know, they weren't keeping audio. They were keeping the metadata, who you called and when. And DNS kind of fits that same description. It's where you're going. And the main problem with it being that because it is a significantly smaller amount of information, it is much easier to extract useful data from that information set. It is not so large that it precludes any type of searching and or organization. So I think DNS over TLS or some form of encryption, some form of end-to-end encryption, not just, you know, you to your ISP, but you to the actual DNS server, is an extraordinarily useful thing and should be supported by everyone. Although understanding why the government does not support it does not require too big a stretch of the imagination.
It's because most people in Congress don't understand technology. That's a simple answer. Huh. And they believe companies who lobby, like cable companies. Moving along, if you have a Google Home speaker, they now have Duo voice call support.
Oh, no. Duo?
Duo, not dual. Duo. Okay. I stumbled there for a second.
But it was a good slip. It's cool.
Yes. And, of course, there was an interesting Wirecutter article to get your digital accounts ready in the event of death.
Like via a dead man switch?
Yes. So be prepared for the possibility that somebody may need to get into your accounts in the event of the unexpected and have some sort of plan for that. Plans are good.
Plans are good, especially if you're Elizabeth Warren. She has a plan for everything.
Yes, and that can sometimes be a good thing, and it can sometimes be a bad thing. I have many plans, but they never seem to go anywhere.
Do you execute on those plans, or do you just make the plan? Because a plan that is unexecuted might as well have not been made. Unless, of course, making the plan refines a later plan that you make.
Sometimes my inability to execute...
Like... me hitting you on the head next Friday?
I was going other humans.
Oh, yes. Other humans.
Fall into that category, but
I am, in fact, another human.
And it relies on the involvement of other people. Even sometimes when I make plans that only rely on me, they don't always work out.
Of course.
This is life. For example, my plan is to get that computer. And I'd already set up the Pi to act as a, I forget what the term is. It's escaping me. I had an MQTT broker on it, and then it was trading messages with the MQTT broker here. There's a term for that. I did all the, you know, I set it up, and I can't remember what the term is right now.
I don't know either.
It's some sort of master-slave relationship that's going to bother me. But again, you can have two brokers where they send messages in between each other. So I wanted to have a second broker.
Of course.
So I had a local broker controlling stuff there, and then it was sending certain messages back to... So since I still have the SD card, I should be able to copy that configuration.
Yep.
But we'll see.
Will we now? You say that, but
I always tell you about my successes and my failures.
Yes, you do. You are extremely forthcoming with your home automation efforts, which is super cool. Yeah. And I thoroughly enjoy it. And it's possible that it also, you know, maybe I live a little bit of home automation vicariously through you. Thus, I don't push myself so hard to do that.
Stop living vicariously. Those who can do.
And those who can't not do, don't.
Yeah, but you can do.
I did finally get my irrigation system on Wi-Fi.
That's good. Have you programmed a program for it?
Yes. And I've got it set up to watch the weather and automatically adjust the amount that it waters according to time of the year and weather. And I know that sounds really impressive, but the app for the irrigation system did it all. So it's not like, you know, it was some really impressive home automation programming or home assistant integration.
The hard part isn't so much the configuring all of the devices, but figuring out the actions you want to automate. It's a design issue more than anything else.
Sure.
But I have some clerical tasks that need to be handled. I have to fix some cameras that have lost their connection to the Wi-Fi, a few other things like that. Too much to do, never enough time.
And if that wasn't a segue for saying goodbye, I don't know what was.
I don't know what was either. although I can ask you about something weird that I was reading about earlier that maybe you can tell me if you've heard of.
Okay.
Do you know anything about the idea of urban axe throwing?
I'm familiar with axe throwing, but I've never heard it used with the qualifier urban.
I just came across this. I have never heard of it, but it seems like a strange thing. So apparently urban axe throwing is a competition with specific rules and regulations. So apparently there are places where people go to practice their urban axe throwing.
Like gun ranges, but for axes?
Apparently.
Axe eye?
So apparently last year, the Backyard Axe Throwing League had over 1,500 members in Ontario alone.
And okay, well, that's Canada.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's the world.
Land of the Lumberjack.
Yeah, but then I looked it up and I found out that on Long Island, where, remember, I live on Long Island. I live in New York City, but I do live on Long Island. There is an urban axe throwing club.
Wow. See, now the super interesting question is not why is there an urban axe throwing contingent in New York City?
Well, don't forget Urban Axes, which is a chain, which has one in Austin, Baltimore, Boston, Cincinnati, Durham, Philadelphia, and Phoenix.
So the true question is, how did you come across this? What Google search led you to urban axe throwing?
Oddly enough, I was looking for a hotel and there was an urban axe throwing place near said hotel.
Okay, that counts as interesting.
Yeah, and I just discovered apparently there's a world of urban axe throwing. I did not know people went out and threw axes at things in cities. So this is apparently a thing.
But I'm sure it's at, you know, a range where they have targets up. I mean, they're not just going out to, like, you know, Grand Central Station and throwing axes at seats.
Yeah, but just remember, if you are near urban axes, you can go and try a group event, which is perfect for birthday parties. you can go through an 8-week training league, or of course you can be a walk-in.
Wow, that's just crazy. I'm going to ask my daughter if she wants to do that for her birthday. Have an axe throwing party. There's no way that could go wrong with two dozen 13-year-olds.
Well, just remember, if there is not an urban axe throwing place in your neighborhood, you know what you have to ask for here. start calling around and saying, I think Jacksonville needs an Urban X ring competition.
I could. I probably won't, though.
Okay. I just came across this and just found it sort of an interesting thing that I didn't know existed.
So, totally. I agree, and I think you're right.
I think I will stick to the much safer sport of duck pin bowling.
Or just straight gun range.
I'm not really a gun range type person. Anything with a weapon seems a little too much for me.
I think throwing an axe counts as a weapon.
I didn't say I was going to do it. I just said I found it interesting. I find many things interesting I'm not going to do. Like soldering.
Oh, soldering is not interesting. Of course. I'm trained in it, so that may be why I say that.
I burned out a lot of things trying to get good at soldering. I don't think I'm good at it, so I've sort of avoided it. Now my rule is, if I can do it without soldering, I'm probably better off.
Probably a safe rule for many people.
On that note, now that I've segued out of home automation and Android into the world of urban axe throwing.
Into the world of flying bathtubs.
Yes. Still think it was interesting.
I totally agree, man. That's
yeah. If you found something that interesting in your life, feel free to drop us a line.
Absolutely.
Or even better, if you are an urban axe thrower. I'm not knocking you if you are an urban axe thrower. I just did not know this
existed. I want to see YouTube videos of it. If you listen to us and you're an axe thrower and there's a YouTube video of it, you have got to send us a link to it, because that's just straight awesome.
I will be looking forward to those links in our feedback page. And until next week, that brings us to the end of this episode.
All right. Well, good night, folks.
By the way, the city I found it in was St. Louis.
Wow, that's crazy. I mean, awesome, but crazy.
Have you ever been to St. Louis?
Yes, I have seen the St. Louis Arch.
I'm told that my hotel is near the St. Louis Arch if I stay there.
It's amazingly less impressive than you think it is.
It's an arch. I can pay $8 and get an arch view hotel room, but I decided it wasn't worth $8. Huh, if I really want to see it, I could walk around the building.
I mean, it's cool and all. It's a really impressive view from the base, but it's not near as big as I thought it was. And I was a kid at the time. You know, when things are always much bigger than they actually are.
Well, we'll see.
But I say the same thing about the Statue of Liberty.
Somebody talked me into going to WordCamp. U.S., that's the national word camp.
In St. Louis?
Apparently so.
All right. Well, you have yourself a good night, man. And I will send you these audio files post-haste.
I will look forward to it.
All right. Take care.
Goodbye.
Bye.